What a wonderful moment here in our yeshiva as we celebrate the Torah of Moreno Verabeno Rav Schechter, as we celebrate the Mesorah that we transmit in our yeshiva as we begin this new Zman, this new year. Our yeshiva has a Mesorah, it has a character. When you're here as a student, you absorb it, you learn it, and you see the Mesorah embodied by our Rosh Yeshiva and by the greater personalities around Yeshiva University. It's my great tzchus to speak here this morning in the presence of all of our Rosh Yeshiva, in the presence of my dear friends and colleagues, Rabbi Menachem Penner, Rabbi Yosef Kalinsky, and all of our Talmidim, our precious Talmidim, which is truly why we're here in the first place. I want to open this year with a Shir Kleli on Masechet Gittin that both in form and content speaks to the Mesorah of our community. About 32 years ago, I walked into Rabbi Rosenzweig's Shir and first studied Masechet Gittin Be'in. Much of what I will say, I've learned in some way, either directly or indirectly from him. The lumdis that I'll be speaking about in this year emerges from this base medrash, as does the hashkafa, the worldview on which it's based. For we in our yeshiva have a clear worldview and a clear message to our students. And a central part of that message emerges from a deep understanding of Masechet Gittin. So to get there, what I want to do is focus on the issue of Lishma by Get. The issue of Lishma. The concept of Lishma applies in many areas of Halacha. Where do we see Lishma? Where do we see the concept of Lishma? By Tzitzis. Many people over the summer learned Tzitzis. And a great one of our great kolim over the summer. Where else? Matzah is a good question about matzah, according to the Ramban Yafeh. Somebody said matzah, kachim, karbanot, tefillin, Yafeh, Sefer Torah. Right? There are many areas of where the concept of Lishma applies, and we also, of course, find it by get. Throughout Shas, the word Lishma is used in all these array of halachot. And the question is, in the broadest terms, the question is, are these all connected? You know, in the broadest terms, what is the Shema? It's the need for kavana to turn an ordinary object into a halachic chefza that can be used for a specific matter at hand. And one of the questions that we analyze when we come to any issue with the Shema is this all reference to referring to the same concept of the Shema, or when the Shema is used in different parts of Halacha, there are different concepts. What I want to speak about this morning is how the Shema is used by Get. So we know that the source of the concept of Get, found in the Beferish in the Psukim, in Sefer Dvarim Riri, Ki Ikach Ish Isho Bala, that if a man marries a woman, and they find that there's a problem in the marriage. V'chasava sefer krisus v'nasan biyada v'shulcha mibeso. He writes to her a sefer krisus, this writ of divorce, and he gives it in her hands, and he sends her from his house. So it's very, very clear in the pshat of the pasuk. Who's writing the get? Who's the one who's writing the get? The husband, v'kasavla. The husband writes the get to the wife, a sefer krisus, and he gives it to her and sends her to the house. From this pasuk, the Gemara asks a question. You could all join me. You have Masechet Gittin in front of you. You take out Yutet Amud Bet, the bottom of Yutet Amud Bet. The bottom of Yud-Tet Amud Bet. The Gemara tells a story. Again, it says, Beferish in the Pasuk, you should write a get and give it to her hand and send her from the house. So the Gemara tells a story, two lines from the bottom, Yud-Tet Amud Bet. Ahu Gavra, there was a man. Da'ol Bei Knisasa, he went into the shul, he went to the Aron Kodesh, walked right up to the Aron Kodesh, and Shakel Sefer Torah. He took out the Sefer Torah, opened the Aron, took out the Torah, and Yav Leila DeBetehu, and he handed it to his wife, and Amrlai, he said to her, Hagiteich, this is your writ of divorce. Here is your get. Okay, he goes right into the Beit Knesset, opens up the Aron, takes out the Torah, hands it to his wife. Hagiteich, this is your get. Is that a good get? Do we have to be choshesh that it's a good get in any way? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Lamai Leichasho, what could be possibly be worried about? How could we think that there's a Havamina even, that it would be a good get? So skip to the top of Chaf Amud Aleph. Emishum krisus de isba habi'inan v'kasavla l'shma v'leka. If, because we read in the Psukim, Sefer Krisus, there is a section in the Torah that refers to divorce. And maybe that section that he hands to her that, and references the Sefer Krisus, maybe that could be used for the divorce. What would we even be worried about? Because it says explicitly, v'kas of la. Why does it say la to her? V'kas of la. So the Gemara says, learns the drasha, l'shma. That when you write the get, it has to be written for her. You have to have her in mind when you're writing this get. V'leka, in this case, it doesn't apply. It was who wrote the Torah? Who wrote the Torah in the shul? Sofer, thank you. A sofer wrote the Torah. Sometime before, a sofer wrote the Torah. There was no lishma, didn't apply. So what is there to be worried about? And if you say, well, maybe the husband had this planned out from before, that maybe he went to a sofer, he paid him money, write a sefer Torah, he said, and have in mind that I'm going to later on use the Sefer Torah to divorce my wife. So then the Sofer has in mind that it's for her. So maybe we should be concerned that this Torah can be used as a get. So the Gemara answers, Habi'inan shine shmo ushma, shem yiro v'shem yira v'leka. We need, and the Gemara is quoting a Mishnah, that we need his name and her name, his city and her city, and it doesn't appear. One of the aspects of get, and we'll talk a little about this later, is that you need the names. You need the names of the people. And here in the Sefer Torah, obviously you don't have the names of the people, and therefore there's nothing to worry about. There's no get. We'll get back to that. But we learned from the beginning of the Gemara that there's a concept of Lishma. There's a concept of Lishma. How far does this apply? So if you look to the beginning of Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara talks about the Mishnah, the whole third parak, dealing with Inyanim relating to Lishma. If you start with the Mishnah talks about four cases. Four cases that highlight the expressions of Lishma, of what you need Lishma. You can join me in Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph in the Mishnah. Kol get shenechtav shelo l'shamisha, any get that is written not in mind for this woman, pasul is invalid. It's an interesting word. Let's assume the Mishnah means when it says pasul here, it's not a get at all. Ketzad, haya over b'shuk, b'shama kol sofer makrim, ish ploni megarish is plonis b'makam ploni. Let's say you're walking in the marketplace, and the Gemara explains this line. You're walking in the marketplace, and you pass by a school of scribes. And the school of scribes, the scribe is telling the students, giving them an example of a get that they're supposed to write, and he's dictating what to write. And he mentions a name here, a woman there, from this place, from that place. And a guy passing by, Va'amar Zeshmi V'Zeshem Ishti, he says, wow, what a coincidence, that's my name. That's my wife's name. I wanted to divorce her. I'll just go and take the get that the scribe was writing. So maybe I could use that. The Mishnah says, pasul, you can't use get, pasul agarish bo. Why is that pasul agarish bo? You don't even have a mind. They don't have a mind that it's a paper, a parchment that's going to be used for divorce. That for sure doesn't work. Yetzer mikain, even more than that. Kasav agarish ishto. Let's say the guy wrote a get with in mind to divorce his wife. Benimlach, and he changed his mind. And then Matsu ben Iro Barmelo Shmikishimcha v'shem ishti k'shem ishtecha. Pasul agarish bo. He says, hey, what a coincidence. You wanted to divorce your wife, Yitzchak. You wanted to divorce Rivka. My name's also Yitzchak. My wife's also Rivka. I could just take your get. So the Mishnah says he can't take the get. Doesn't work. Why? Because you didn't have in mind, you didn't write the shtar, and you didn't have in mind your wife. Let's say Yetzer Mikain. Ha'ilo shtei nashim u'shemosein shavos. Kasev l'garish u'segdola lo yigarish bo sektana. Let's say you have two wives with the same names. That would be confusing, by the way. Let's say you have two wives with the same names. Yitzchak is married to two women named Rivka. Not a good idea on any level. And he says, okay, I am going to write a get. And I have in mind to write it for the older one. And then after he says, you know what? Yitzchak, Rivka, it's my wife, but I'm going to use it for the younger one. Not good. Why isn't it good? L'shma, as the Gemara explains, it needs to be the right husband for the specific wife. And even Yetzer Mikain, Amar Lalava Katzav Leizer She'erta Agaresh Pasul Agaresh Bo. Even if he says, I want it for anybody, any of my wives that I decide to divorce with the same names, even it's not going to be good. And that's a little more complicated. We're not going to have a chance to get to that as much. But what's clear from the Mishnah is that, as the Gemara explained, V'kasav la l'shma, when the husband is writing the get or telling the sofer to write the get, has to be clear, he's writing it in order to divorce this specific woman, this specific wife. Tosfos in Chaf Amud Aleph, if we go back to Chaf Amud Aleph, Tosfos raises an interesting question and a contradiction between get and Masechet Sota. Tosfos says that we also have a concept of Lashma when it comes to Sota. We know that after the husband warns his wife, and we find that his wife was again in a compromising position in a room alone with that man that he was warned, that she was specifically warned about. She's supposed to drink the waters of Sota. How do you get the waters of Sota? So you're supposed to, the Kohen writes the Parsha from the Torah, the same Hashba, the same oaths that she has to take. Then we erase that Parsha into the water, and she drinks that water. That's the Mei Sota. And according to some opinion in this Gemara in Ervin, when the Kohen writes the Parsha, he has to have Lashma. He has to write it with intending, not just that it's for Sota, but also it's for this woman. But the concept of Lashma isn't just by get, it's also by Sota. And there, the Gemara raises the question, what about using a Torah? Can you just erase the psukim in the Torah relating to Sota and use that water and drink that water? And even according to the opinion, there's a machlokes there whether you need to write it l'shma. And even according to the opinion that you can write it l'shma, I'm sorry, you need to write it l'shma, still, the Gemara finds a way that opinion would say that you can use a Sefer Torah for Mei Sota. That writing l'shma means if you write it for another woman, then it's pasul. But if you wrote it stam, like in a case of Sefer Torah, then you could use it. So Tosfos says, I don't understand. We have the same case that's brought in Gittin. There's a stira between Gittin and Sota, as we find in Erevin. The Gemara in Gittin says that you can't use a Torah. If you use a Torah for get, it's not going to work. You don't have to be choshesh, it's going to work. Why? Because you need l'shma for get. And you don't have l'shma. Can't use it. But yet, when it comes to Sota, according to the opinion that you also need Lishma and has to be written for her, the Gemara finds a way where you can use it. So we have a stira. How do we resolve that stira? So Tosfos in Chaf Amud Aleph, he answers and says, it's true, it's a stira, it's irreconcilable. And it must be that Rav Yosef in this Gemara Gittin doesn't hold like that opinion in Rav Papa, that you, if you hold you need the Shema by Sota, then you could use a Sefer Torah. It's an irreconcilable contradiction that must be two different shitot. They argue with each other, and there's no way to differentiate. That's the first opinion. Tosfos then says something else, which could be interpreted as something broader, which might reflect another approach. Another approach which answers that there's a fundamental difference between the Lishma of Get and the Lishma of Sota. This is fleshed out a little more by the Tosfos Rush. I'll just quote you the Tosfos Rush. And the Tosfos Rush says, Yesh lechalek, ben Lishma de Get, ben Lishma de Megillah Sota. De Beget, afilu asu asofer Lishma, below tzivoy habal, pasal. Abel gabi Sota, lo tzarech das habal. Tosfos Rush says there's a difference between Sota and Get. When it comes to Get, you need the Tzivoy Habal. The only time the Sofer is able to write the Get that would be good is if the Baal first commands him to write it. When it comes to Sota, you don't need the Tzivoy Habal. The Kohen, even if the Baal doesn't tell him, let's say the Kohen sees that you have this case, it's coming up in a couple of months, the Baal never told me to do it, I'm just going to write up the psukim of Sota for later on, even though the Baal didn't tell me to do it, and this already happened, let's say, and everything already happened, I'm going to write it up, that's fine. When it comes to a Get, the only time a Get would work is if first the Baal commanded the scribe to do so. Why is this true? There could be some technical reasons about Stam, about what is the Stam in the assumptions of both the mind of the Baal and the mind of the, in both cases, and that's what Tosfos sounds like here in Chaf Amud Aleph. But I want to explain this more fundamentally, about the issue of Tzivoy Habal, the importance of the Baal, of the husband commanding and being part of the process of Get. The Gemara, Chaf Ben Amibet, writes that a katan is able to write a Get if there's a gadol that's omed al gabav. If the katan is able to write a Get if there's a gadol over him. Tosfos asks, why can that? How does that work that a katan writes the get, even if a gadol is over him? The katan's not a bardat, he's not a ben shliach. The katan can't be appointed as a shliach for the husband. So how can he write a get? And Tosfos answers, "Delo be'inan shlichus b'ksiva." That actually, when it comes to writing, to become a scribe, you don't need shlichus to become a scribe to write it. The v'kasav lav abal kai ella asofer. That the pasuk v'kasav, I said v'kasav la, sounds like it's talking to the husband to write, but actually Tosfos says it's talking that the scribe writes the get. V'hadar min lakaman tzarech shiyom l'sofer k'tov l'edim chtomo. That which later on we learn that the husband needs to say to the scribe to write and to the witnesses to sign la mishum shlichus. It's not because of shlichus. The reason you need the husband to tell the scribe and the witnesses to write and sign the document isn't because of shlichus. It's because of lishma. The husband, by commanding the scribe, gives the lishma to the get. And that's why, according to Tosfos, this answer in Tosfos, the katan is able to be the scribe. He can't be a shliach, but it is enough to give over the lishma. And this is part of parcel of the halachas of get, as Rashi explains later on in on the Mishnah Chaf Amud Aleph. that let's say you have a scribe who sees that this couple's fighting. He knows ahead of time the couple's fighting. He sees it's going bad. It's going south. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write ahead of time a get. Husband never told him. He said, I see where this is going. Chachamena Barosho. I'll save myself some time later. And he writes up a get. Reuven divorces Leah. And this particular town, he has all the names right. He has all the spelling right, even has the right intention. It's for Reuven. It's for Leah. He has everything right. But it didn't come from the Baal. It didn't come from the husband. Is that a good get? So the answer is it's not. The Tzivoy HaBaal is required for Lishma. Why should this be true? So I heard from Rabbi Umori, Rabbi Rosenzweig, and Rav Schechter has this in his Sefer Eretz Tzvi, the pshat from Rav Soloveitchik, that Moreno v'Rabbeinu, Rav Soloveitchik explained that a get, the shtar of a get, is fundamentally different than the other shtar. For the document of the get is an incorporation of the Tzivoy HaBaal. Everything starts from the Baal's instructions. And the get is a concretization of the Baal's thoughts about this relationship. Right, you have in front of you a blank piece of paper. Then you can have words on it that's found in all gittin. It's the same words. It's still not a get. What does the Baal do? The Baal puts his names in, and he makes the get his own. He's putting himself in the shtar. It's his das that's being recorded. Because of this, because everything of the get is really what lishma means, is lishma is that the husband is putting himself in the shtar, he's making it his own, the get is fundamentally different. For example, as opposed to other contracts, let's say shtar by kinyanim, in which the contract is only the hechsher for the event to actually happen, here, the moment the sofer writes the contract, in some way, the gerushin begins, as long as it's completed. In some way, once it's completed, you can look back and say that the Gerushin begins here. What's examples of that, where we see the Gerushin begins by the Ksiva? Anybody have any examples of that? Say again. So, for example, later in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai says, when is it if, let's say, a woman is married to a Kohen, and she's allowed to eat Truma? And then, once she gets divorced, she's not allowed to eat Truma. So, according to Beis Shammai, the moment of Ksiva, of writing, is the time she stops eating Truma. And Rav Schechter, you can see in the Sefer, has a couple of examples of where the Shas Ksiva actually begins the process of Gerushin. I mean, halachically, by the Ksiva. But it doesn't stop at the writing. The concept of the Shema, which invests the writing from the Tzivoy HaBaal with halachic status, doesn't stop by the writing. It continues. The Gemara in Gittin, Lamed Bet, Amed Bet, talks about the case. Let's say a husband appoints a shliach to go bring his get to his wife. And then along the way, he says, you know what? I don't want you to do it. He's mavatel this. What happens to the get? What happens to the get? Can the get be used again? Let's say a week later, he says, you know what? Actually, I want to do this get. Can he take the same get that he gave to the shliach before and then reissue it, and give it to his wife? So it's a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says you can use it. Rav Sheshes says you can't. Now we paskin like Rav Nachman, you can use it. Because the Gemara says, because you only intend, the Baal only intends to annul the shlichus. But let's say the Baal doesn't just intend to annul the shlichus. Let's say he says, I want to annul the get. I want to be mavatel the get. Can a Baal be mavatel the get that he once wrote? Well, let's take a comparison. Let's say a sofer writes a Sefer Torah. After the sofer finishes the Sefer Torah, can he be mavatel the Sefer Torah? What do you think? Of course not. It can't be mavatel the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah. He had the Das. He helped infuse the Sefer Torah with Kedusha. Once it has Kedusha, it's not up to Intimavat to the Sefer Torah. But yet, the Rambam says, when it comes to get, if the Baal intends, not the Shliach, for example, the Baal has the get. He's holding the get, and he says, I want to be Mavatal this get. This get is as Muvutal, and it cannot be reused, it cannot be reissued. Why can't it be reissued? So Shaul Bechik explained that the process starts of the Baal's intent, the process starts at Sivoy. It starts when he commands and it goes through the writing, but it continues through Nesina, it continues through the giving. In Halacha, when it comes to get, the requirement of Lishma refers to the connective tissue, what is being mitzarif. By get, Lishma means the Baal making the get his own, it's his das, about this specific relationship that starts when he commands the sofer, and it continues all throughout, till the Nesina, till the end. It's one long process. As opposed to Sefer Torah, once the sofer writes it, it's over, it's done, it's a Sefer Torah. When it comes to the Baal, he actually is still integrated in the process. It's still him. And therefore, if he pulls himself out and is mevatel, that shtar, the process collapses. If he wants to divorce his wife again, he has to start a new process with a new get. This understanding of Lishma by get, that it's the Baal that's making the process and the get his own, also explains a number of facts about get. Like for the Ramban, for example, explains, we saw that the Gemara said you need to write the name, your name and the wife's name. You need to write your name and the wife's name. So there's a machlokes in the Rishonim, is that the Rabbanon or Deraisa that you need to put all the names in. And the Ramban says it's deraisa. Why? Because you can't have sefer krisus lishma unless you mention the names. The names are essential to the get. Because the get is specifically, it's the Baal talking about his relationship with this woman. It's unique to them, and all the names have to be in. Similarly, according to some Rishonim, the get, as opposed to other contracts, can be in first person, or need to be in first person. Right? When it comes to get, as opposed to, let's say, when it comes to a Kenyan, you could say, Adam could come and say, I witnessed Reuven selling the property to Shimon. When it comes to get, the language is, I, Reuven, am divorcing you, Leah. So it's him writing. The whole story is about the Baal that he starts from his command. The story is a story about his relationship with Leah that he puts into the contract. That is going to, that carries the day. And finally, for now, the Ktav Yad with Eid Echad. That, according to the Rambam, if the husband doesn't tell the scribe to write it, but the husband writes it himself in his own handwriting, in his Ktav Yad, and there's not two Eidim but one Eid, the Rambam says that it's only Pasul, meaning the Deraisa, it still works. Why would that be true? Again, it's all part of this concept that personal handwriting would have a higher status because it's more directly himself. Since the whole concept of Lishma is making it into your own, putting yourself in the process about this relationship, the husband's handwriting on it is the greatest expression of himself. So the laws are going to be different, not as severe in terms of requiring the two aid. And even one aid still comes with halachic consequences. Just to review, what we have is we see the Lishma requirement by get. The Gemara says you can't use Sefer Torah for get. Why not? You can use it for Megillah Sota. So one opinion is it's a contradiction. You're right. Lishma by Sota is the same as Lishma by get. Irreconcilable. It's a contradiction. But the other approach, based on the Rav, is that actually there are two different concepts of Lishma. And Lishma, when it comes to Sota, is just changing a paper into a halachic chefza to be used for a ritual. But for get, it's placing oneself in the chefza. The get becomes an expression of the Baal in respect to this relationship. It's not simply turning a paper into a halachic object, but it's individualizing it, it's personalizing it so it's your own. And it's your own in respect to this relationship with your wife. It's very important to remember, if a husband writes to wives in general, it doesn't work. if the Gemara later says, let's say you have two husbands, right, for two wives, that also doesn't work. It says, la velo lechavrata. You have to write the get for your wife. It's singular. It's for this specific woman. It's this relationship, a specific document about this husband and this wife. Why is this the case? What does this tell us, that halacha, as a broader concept when it comes to get, than, for example, other contracts to purchase objects? There's no lishma when it comes to contracts to purchase objects. A normal contract, you can produce the contract mass market. You go to a printing press. It's a piece of paper. You buy and sell as long as you're clear about the date. It's not a problem. It's written in third person. Why is get different? I want to suggest that this point about lishma, and the reason why I use lishma to talk about the whole Masechet Gittin, is that it points to a fundamental distinction between two kinds of halachic relationships. In halacha, we see two fundamental modalities: the consumer and the covenant. The modality of the consumer is one in which we are all familiar. You want to buy a new computer, you research the market, see the latest development, find out the most data you can about your potential purchase, and then you pull the trigger. You want to buy a new suit, you look up the prices, see the quality, know what else is around, and decide you want to buy it. First, you gain the knowledge, then you make the commitment, and the more knowledge you have, the better. When I was growing up, there was a commercial of the SciSims, made by SciSims. So SciSims School of Business. How many people here are in SciSims School of Business? A lot of Sims. So do you know there's a person named SciSims? And SciSims owned a store. He owned a suit store. And he had a very well-known commercial. And his daughter told me that he insisted that he would be in the commercials himself. That it would be him. It would be authentic. And what was his commercial? Who knows? What did he say? So he said, and it was so effective that people even today remember it. He said, an educated consumer is our best customer. When it comes to a consumer, when it comes to the consumer relationship, being more educated is better. And then afterwards, when the object doesn't meet your needs and you want to give it to somebody else, so you give it to somebody else, you buy a suit, you like the suit, you wear it for a year, you don't like it anymore, give it to somebody else, he then wears a suit. It's an object. You have no special relationship with it. You buy it, you sell it, you have it one day, another person can have it a different day. But there's a second kind of relationship that's fundamentally different. Take, for example, the most deeply personal of relationships, marriage. The essence of a loving, meaningful, inspiring relationship is when two people come together in honesty and openness, giving each other access into the deep recesses of each other's heart and soul. Now, to do this, one needs to remove the protective layers and shields that each individual naturally builds to protect oneself from revealing their weaknesses and insecurities. To reach an evolved, emotionally connected state takes a lot of time and effort. It doesn't happen right away. And an essential ingredient to this is commitment. For without commitment, one would never reach the level of trust and amount of work that needs to put into uncover the layers underneath the surface. It's the opposite of the consumer model, in which knowledge leads to complete commitment. Here, you actually need the complete commitment first, and then you'll have the security to be revealing. That will lead to the knowledge. And that's the joy of discovery in real relationships. You know, C.S. Lewis, in his book, which described his grief about his wife who died, noted that what he missed most about his wife is the way she surprised him. It's not what he knew about her already that excited him. It's what he didn't know. It was the alterity. It was the mystery. It's the different and unexpected ways in which his wife grew and evolved, which pushed him to grow and evolve as well. Because every individual is different, created in God's divine image in his or her own special way. By definition, each covenantal relationship is fundamentally different as well. At the opening of his famous novel, Anna Karenina, Tolstoy famously said, "All happy families are alike, But every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. In halacha, we understand that even every happy family is happy in its own way. A real covenantal relationship that runs deep to the recesses of your heart, by definition, is an individualized relationship. No two are exactly alike. And this is a primary difference between the consumer and the covenant. A consumer is an I-it relationship. A covenant is an I-thou relationship. In the Jewish tradition, the consumer is found all throughout the biblical sources. From Avram purchasing Maris HaMachpelah to Boaz acquiring the rights to Elimelech's inheritance, and it's crystallized in the laws of Kinyanim found in Seder Nezikin. The model of the covenantal, however, is found in how halacha presents marriage. V'davak b'ishto v'ayu l'basar echad. There is something mystical and magical, unique and transformative about each union. And it's no coincidence that our Masorah invokes the same imagery when speaking of our relationship with Hashem. From our beginning, our acceptance of the Torah, the Jewish people said at Har Sinai, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do, and then we will understand. It's commitment which precedes knowledge. We didn't know what was in it. We didn't know where it would take us, but we accepted it. And this commitment drives us to explore, to study, to grapple with halacha and its life prescriptions. Hours, days, years, lifetimes, centuries have been devoted to poring over its words and adhering to its directives. The Medrash says that when Hashem wanted to give the Torah, He first gave the other nations an opportunity to accept it one by one. What did they do? They asked Him, well, we want to know first what's in it. And they rejected it based on its dictates that they felt ran contrary to their nation's nature. They addressed the question as one would as a consumer. We need to know first, and then we'll decide. But the Jewish people said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will commit, and then we'll grapple with understanding. For we approach Hashem and the Torah not in a spirit of utility, but mystery. Do you see the Torah as an object to consume, to own, to possess, to use for your benefit? Or is it a gift to explore, to delve into, to uncover, to grow from? One whose depths of wisdom and insight breeds only greater wonder and curiosity. It's a fundamental difference in attitude. Do you approach the Torah in the spirit of the covenant or as a consumer? And just like with relationships, if we approach it with the incorrect spirit as a consumer to see what's in it for me, I'll accept it only if I first study it and understand it, then its true depths can never be accessed. For the consumer is only transactional. The covenantal is transformational. Gittin, Masechet Gittin, is a Masechet that's teaching us about covenantal relationships. It's the I-thou versus the I-it. And the reason why I would suggest we have such a different sense of lishma, in which the Baal must put himself in the process, this specific relationship, in his name, with her name, a get only for him, and only for her in first person with the intent all throughout the process, is to make the get uniquely applied to this relationship alone. Because this relationship alone is unique and different and cannot be replicated. The way we create and unwind our relationships is descriptive of the relationships themselves. A car, a house, a boat, you can use any contract drawn up in mass production. But a get, for this specific couple, at this specific time, the whole way the Jewish tradition views relationships is reflected in these contracts. And halacha consistently highlights this point. There's a consistent juxtaposition of kinyanim for objects and covenantal relationships like marriage. Kicha kicha miste Ephron, a star kinyan versus a get. And the reason for the juxtaposition is not to say that they're the same, but it's to highlight their differences. For if one approaches one's life and views their consumer relationships as objects like a covenant, it's a problem. Okay, both ways it's a problem. It's just a house. It's just a car. It's just money. It's not essential. Ki lo b'moto yikach hakol. You can't take it with you. It's not your covenant. It's not what you have your profound relationship with. And the other way is true as well. If you view the covenantal as a consumer, it confuses and it hurts. Such a problem with dating today. You guys want to go on dates. What are you doing? You go with a checklist. A checklist like a consumer. You need this, 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 this. You need 25 things on your checklist. And if the checklist doesn't match, right, it's not like that. There's always a leap of faith. The idea that you make yourself 100% sure, that's actually a consumer does that. That you make the build the warranty, and that's a consumer does that. The covenantal relationship understands that actually you need commitment before you get to true knowledge. And you see it all over society when you don't have that, with a high rate of divorce. When consumers replace their products quickly if they're not satisfied, rather than investing in the mystery. The lesson of Gittin is that marriages are holy. They're filled with kedusha. They're covenantal. Let me wrap up by showing one more source. If you go to Lamed Daled Amud Bet, it's a great Tosfos. Really highlights this point. Tosfos Vudit Chazek Lamed Daled Amud Bet Shalul Rabbeinu Tam Al Meshumad Shegeres Es Ishto V'lo Nechta Beget Al Shem Shel Yadus V'lo Shem Shel Gayus. There's a story of a Meshumad, if it was in Europe, so somebody who converted to Christianity. And he divorced his wife. And he changed his name once he converted to Christianity. The question was, what name do you use in the get? And they only used the Jewish name, but not his new Christian name. V'heshev Rabbeinu Tam. And listen to this. Chalila lahaskir shem de gayus betoris Moshe v'Yisrael. Chalila lahaskir shame. Chalila lahaskir, the other name from the other religion, b'toras Moshe v'Yisrael, in the Torah of Moshe and Yisrael. What is Rabbeinu Tam talking about? Where are we using it in the Torah of Moshe and Yisrael? He's writing it in a get. What's the Torah of Moshe and Yisrael? Because the get is part of the Torah of Moshe and Yisrael. For relationships are kadosh. They are Torah too. And it's not just for marriage. Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that a gadata in the mesechta that you learn is part of the essential mesechet. It's not a coincidence that the stories of the Chorban are in Gittin. That the description of the supreme covenantal relationship being disrupted. Because the stories of the Chorban are really reflecting the story of our connection with Hashem. When you read through Gittin, just don't learn the halacha, read through the Agadata. You'll find this theme over and over again. For it's true in many respects of your life, in your relationships with your spouse, your friends, Rebbeim, your Torah, and with yourself. Do you have a covenantal relationship with yourself? Are you looking to create your own life, or are you looking to imitate others? And this is a primary message of our yeshiva. This, we talk about the Masorah of our yeshiva. This is a primary message of our yeshiva. And I'll close with a quote from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik, in earlier Chag HaSmicha, spoke about why he loves Yeshiva University. Why he loves Yeshivas Rebbeinu Yitzchak Hanan. What does he see in this yeshiva that's so special? And he writes, and I quote, "I may have very few good traits, but one trait in which I do possess is my inability to imitate anyone else. I always want to be myself and to display my unique dignity of having been created in the image of God. The glory of the individual is exemplified by the singularity of every human being. This concept is the motto of my life. I never wish to wear the mask of another person in order to ingratiate myself with the masses. I came to the United States and was thrown into Boston as a rabbi," he said. "It was difficult. Laymen like to advise their rabbis. This is true about the lady in Boston and even about my congregants in Congregation Maria. They advised me to Americanize and to adjust myself to the new American circumstances. They wanted me to fit in. I fought them bitterly. I knew that I would lose my originality if I tried to be what I was not. I would lose my uniqueness and ultimately the divine image that was within me. I do not like to do what others can do better or just as well. I wish to do that which I am unique at. This is not an expression of haughtiness. No, it's a fulfillment of my intrinsic human dignity and individuality. Even when it comes time to Talmud study, I follow the same principle. I had a great Rebbe, my father. My father had an even greater Rebbe, Reb Chaim. I learned a great deal from my father. I can declare like Rebbe Eliezer, much Torah have I learned, yet I have but skimmed from the knowledge of my teachers, much like a dog lapping from the sea. As much as I receive from my father, I still manage to pass on to my students in my own unique fashion. I utilize my own vocabulary. True, I must say about my father and grandfather that we drink their water, yet I am writing my own Sefer Torah, and I have my own unique Ktav Yad. I do not enjoy it when my students speak in cliches and simply parrot the concepts of bris. The same with my homiletic lectures. I do not utilize the rabbinical sources and quotations that others generally use in their sermons. I rejoice in being alone and individualistic. If I am found wanting, then my achievements may very well be inconsiderable. However, if I am a pygmy, at least I am a pygmy who possesses the divine image. I must chart my own course. Our sages refer to Avram as the only one because he's unique and paved a new way for mankind. I am always attracted to those Gedolei Yisrael who charted new courses. The same is true in my relationships with institutions. I am impressed by institutions that are pacesetters and innovative. And the Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary of Yeshiva University, in this yeshiva, the Rav writes, I have discovered such an institution. This school is unique, and it's imbued with the honor and dignity of man created in the image of God. This is the secret of my love for and commitment for our yeshiva. I love this image, the Ktav Yad, writing in the Sefer Torah. Every Sefer Torah, it's all the same. You can't even change the dikduko, not a lakutsa shoyud you can't change. But yet, you write it in your own handwriting. This is finding your Torat Adam, your Tzelem Elokim, in Torat Emet, in the framework of the Torah. This is what we talk about when we speak, when you see your values all over the place. It's imbued in every shir that you have. Every shir, every blot that you're learning, every gemara, we're talking about discovering your potential in the context of truth. Your potential in the context of truth. And that is a primary aspect of what this yeshiva is about. You find your way, your path. It's true in your Torah, it'll be true in your Mada, it'll be true holistically throughout your day here. Find your path within our Torat Emet. This is what this yeshiva stands for. It's not to imitate others. Our yeshiva doesn't try to imitate other yeshivot. We know our Mesorah, we believe in our Mesorah, and we transmit our Mesorah. Ahu Gavra, Da'ol Lebei Knisasha Shakol Sefer Torah Yavlei Lebeiteu. Okay, this man, each of you can go up to the Aron. Each of you will come to the Aron, and you'll be handed a Sefer Torah. It's a storied Sefer Torah forged in the Beit Midrash of Rosh Yeshiva, both past and present. But in order to create the miracle and mystery of covenantal relationships, it's not enough to just grab hold of the Sefer Torah. You have to make it your own. When we hand you a Sefer Torah, when we study with our Chavruta, when we connect with our Shir and our Yeshiva, we need Lishma to help elevate and individuate the entire process. Talmud Torah Lishma. That's another thing that's Lishma. What does it mean, Torah Lishma? What does it mean, learning Torah Lishma? So this is Lishma works very well with Get. This Lishma is about making the Torah your own. The mystery and miracle of covenantal relationships is created when it's through our voice with our das, a product of our intention to create a lifelong relationship with Torah and Amcha Yisrael. This is the Mesorah of our yeshiva. And seeing you, the largest incoming class, perhaps ever, in the history of Yeshiva University. Okay, it's not just about the amount of students we have here. It's the quality of our students. If you were selected to come here, it's for a reason. Because we see that you are the kind of person who can develop deep relationships with others, with Hashem, with yourself, so that you will discover your potential and go out and impact others with kindness, love, and joy. Wishing you a wonderful year of learning and growth and much hatzlacha. Thank you.